Parks Commission meeting. Since Commissioner Solu has resigned, I will be running tonight's meeting as your vice chair. We do have a couple new commission members tonight, and we'll look forward to having Mr. Woods introduce them and welcome them. And so I think we'll start off with our Pledge of Allegiance. Everybody will stand.
Ready?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic
for which
it stands, one nation, under God,
indivisible. Good evening. Tonight's roll call, Vice Chair Hale.
Here.
Commissioner Crowley. Absent. Commissioner Munoz. Commissioner Mahan.
Yes.
And a warm welcome this evening to our two newest commissioners, Commissioner O'Toole and Commissioner Sedaris. Welcome to both of you. We got you.
Great. I'd like to open up to the commission to see if we have any commissioner reports, presentations, or announcements for our audience tonight. Okay. Thank you. It's our public comment period, but noticing that we have no one in the audience tonight, we will move on. But we would like to invite members of the community to come out anytime and share your thoughts and ideas on subjects related to recreation and parks. We're always welcome to hear your ideas. So we'll turn to item A, which is our consent calendar. And we'll be looking to get approval of the minutes for our June 4th meeting, citizens report and correspondence, youth service summary and sport and fitness summary, and facility and park use summary for the months of May and June, and our Rec and Parks Department status report.
May I, Chair Hale, may I ask that A2 be pulled? I have two new correspondents that came to you this evening, and I'd like to explain what those two are.
Please. Do you want me to make a motion on this?
No. If you want to continue, you want to continue with your consent items, that'd be fine. If you could just have, if A2 could be pulled and the rest could be considered for consent, certainly
okay.
Be back to chair.
Great. Okay, we'll pull A2 out, and I'll ask for a motion.
I'll make a motion to approve A1 through A4, omitting A2 for file.
Can I hear a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you, Chair Hale. Two correspondents that came to you today that weren't in your packets last week. One is the notice of preparation for the draft environmental impact report for the Morro Bay Cayucas Bike Connector. It's actually called the Morro Bay Cayucas Connector Trail. And this is a project from the County of San Luis Obispo Parks and Recreation Division. They are looking for a response to their office for participation and continuation to be staying in the loop. I've responded, and we are getting notices and updates on this particular project. I wanted to bring your attention to the page 2 of 2, halfway down by the signature line. There will be a special meeting held Monday, August the 10th at Cayucas Veterans Memorial Building. It's at 7 p.m. Staff is unable to attend this due to a city council meeting. But if we could get a volunteer from the commission to attend, to come back with a report, that would be an ideal situation. And I would turn it over to the commission for discussion at this time.
Okay. Do we have anybody that's willing and able to and interested to come and participate or sit in this meeting on August 10th, which is next Monday at 7? Okay. Great. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Sedaris. Then at our next meeting, at the very beginning, when we have reports and announcements, if you could update us on this particular meeting, we'd appreciate that. The second correspondence that you received this evening is the correspondence not directed to staff, nor is it directed to the commission, but I felt it's important that we brought this. Council has seen this particular advertisement, if you will, on the Jack project. City manager has seen this. I haven't had any formal feedback regarding this project, but I wanted to bring it before you to get you in the loop early. This is what staff considers public art, and we have attached a public art policy that's been approved of a public review. And I call it a shotgun start because I like to play golf, but it would be all the commissioners, all the advisory boards in September would hopefully review this. If not, it had a makeup, it would be November, October, and then eventually having consensus of all the advisory boards and having something, a formal recommendation going to council for their review is how staff sees this playing out. So if you want to read through this and know that it's a project coming, if you have time to visit the site, please do so. Get familiar with it. It seems like they potentially have all the monies lined up for this particular project. So we have certain things on the site that you might want to discuss during the public hearing process of this. So that concludes that the correspondence that we have for you this evening. If there's any questions, I'd be happy to answer them at this time.
Any questions? So will our endorsement or our input be sought just overall with the project itself, or would we be involved in this is the artist and this is what the statute's going to say? I mean, what level of...
I would imagine... Thank you. I would imagine your review when it comes back, I should say if it comes back, most likely it will, that your review would be, is this an appropriate piece of art for the particular location in the community? And you'll have to do the same kind of thing when we look at the statue for the Central Coast Women for Fisheries out of Target Rock area when that goes in. So these are, they're great projects for community groups to get involved in, and it's our, and we're very well connected when we get into these projects. But before we get there, before we roll the sleeves up, make sure that it's an appropriate use of public time and space and resources. And location is going to be key. What the statue actually looks like, what it's depicting, what's the message, what's the theme, those kind of things. Your recreational background, your parks background, how it fits in with the current, how will it fit in the future. So we want longevity when we put in public art, hopefully, unless it's designed for something differently. So I think that's going to be part of your review. Not necessarily the name of the artist, but the overall general themes. Location, I think, is going to be key. Definitely. Hopefully that answers your question.
Thank you.
Okay.
Okay, so do we need to make a motion on the A2?
Yeah, if you're willing to make a motion to accept those for file, that would be fine.
Can I get a motion to accept A2 for file?
Motion to accept A2 for file.
Can I get a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 All opposed? I'm going to just pause here and welcome Commissioner Crowley.
Sue, and let the record show that all commissioners are present at this time, and the one that's gone is a vacancy that we're looking to fill.
Thank you.
Certainly.
Okay, we'll move on to item B, which is public hearings, and tonight we do not have any public hearings scheduled. We'll move on to item C, which is unfinished business, which we have no specific items identified. So we'll move quickly on to item D, which is new business, and we do have some discussion here, which is to elect a chair and vice chair. Given that Commissioner Solu has resigned as chair, we are going to discuss that tonight. And so I'll turn that over to Mr. Woods.
Thank you, Chair Hale. This item of elections is brought to you generally annually in January. Unfortunately, we've had a few commissioners resign. One was the chair. So now you've got a couple of vacancies. Your vice chair is running your meeting this evening. But D1 is we'll clean up the positions so we can move forward through the rest of the year. And so there are two elections that should be held tonight. In your staff report, you'll see that the floor opens for nominations, then it closes. And then there's a vote on those who are nominated for the chair, and then the voting is closed. And then the new chair takes the position in the center, if there is a change. Oh, obviously it's vacant. And then new nominations on the floor are opened for the vice chair, then they were closed, and then there's an election, and then those are closed, and then the vice chair is selected from that process. So given that you're going to do two elections, it seems rather simple, but it's formality we must take. I will turn it back over to Vice Chair Hale at this time.
Okay, so I think hopefully I'll get this right. So it sounds like we would like to first open the nomination process for chair or vice chair? I guess chair.
Chair.
Who will then run the meeting. So I would like to open up for discussion with the commissioners if they would like to make a nomination for chair for the Rec and Parks Commission. Do we have discussion
I'd like to nominate Commissioner Munoz as vice chair. He certainly has the experience on the commission.
Just note that Commissioner Munoz is also your senior representative.
Oops, okay.
It's not a bad thing. Just make so you know that he has some background. He's doing some volunteer work
now.
Can
we ask for the commissioner's thought? I mean, Commissioner Munoz, are you okay with the nomination, or would you rather pass on it?
No, I'm fine. It's okay. The senior citizens meet once a month anyways. It's okay.
Okay.
Seconded.
Do we have, need to back up and see if there's any other nominations that folks want to make? Or yes, it is.
Could you speak, please?
Testing 1-2. Okay.
You're still nominated.
Yeah.
Okay. You did. Do we have other nominations for vice chair?
I move to close the nominations for vice chair.
Okay. Can I get a second?
Mm-hmm.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Nay. Okay.
Thank you very much, and congratulations, Chair Hale, Vice Chair Munoz. And it seems like it's kind of a silly little process to go through opening, closing, motions, and seconds, but that's how the process goes. So we try to be consistent in all our decision makings when we do that. So that does conclude D1.
Okay, great. So we'll move on to E, which is declaration of future agenda items, and I'll look to the commissioners to understand.
D2? Can I back you up?
Pardon? Oh, D2. Skipping fast ahead.
And the Lakers aren't even playing.
Thank you. Okay, D2, discussion of recommending a public input process for developing North Embarcadero projects.
Thank you, Chair Hale and Commission. Good evening once again. This is where I think the process gets a little bit more fun, a little more creative. We want to talk about the possibilities of the public input process for the master planning of Coleman Park and the Target Rock area, and we're asking for some direction, some recommendations from Commission, so staff can move forward in a positive direction with your support. In June of this year, we met with the Harbor Advisory Board, and we heard a presentation about the capital project efforts that are in the North Embarcadero. And that would include the boat haul out, the boat repair yard, the boat dry dock storage, possible improvements. We may not have heard formally, but on the books is still some improvements to the dirt Embarcadero extended from Coleman Park. It goes out, extends out, and the plans are right now, I think they're conceptual, to get a bike path and the harbor walk to extend. To extend down the dirt Embarcadero, and there'll be improvements down by the parking lot, and then hopefully part of the plan would be a pedestrian and bike bridge across the creek. Then backing up back to Coleman. Now those elements there are not what we're going to be reviewing in the RPC. What we're asking you to look at is the Coleman Park and also the Target Rock area. Both are zoned as recreational areas that have been somewhat developed, somewhat not developed. There's a mix when you look at the whole picture. Right now, Pullman Park is going through a phase that it's never seen before. It's not master planned, and it needs some public input. It needs some direction. And a couple of options you have before you, and before you start discussing this as a commission, is that you could bump this concept back up to City Council and ask them to form a joint board or subcommittee. And the reason why you would do that, it would be that you would get members of other advisory boards. So if you wanted to, I don't mean to use the word drag them in, but if you wanted to have them considered in a formal subcommittee, two from Harbor Advisory, two from PWAB, two from the promotions, two from the RPC, and I mean all these advisory groups, then that's an action that council needs to take. You don't have that direction to move people around into your committee. Now, you could keep it in-house, as I say, and the RPC could develop maybe two or even three. If we get seven on the board, on the commission, I would consider maybe throwing three at the subcommittee. And I say the Target Rock area because generally your park naming is something that's significantly there on site. So the rock is the rock, Tylens is Tylens, and so forth. So the Target Rock area, it's not developed right now, and so you don't have anything. The first thing you need to do is to develop and initially approve a master plan at your level. So how do you get that? Do I just draw up a master plan and say, this is what we want? I don't think that would be fair to everybody in the community. I don't think it would be fair to the process. You have a lot of stakeholders out there, and when you start turning the rocks, you'll realize that, ooh, wow, I never thought of that. I never thought of those folks. I didn't know we impacted them. So that's just one. And I'll quickly go through the other three steps, which basically is once you get your master plan, you call it an amendment, call it a master plan, you take that, and now you say, yeah, we like this. Let's ship it off to the other advisory boards. Now you can do either joint meetings. You can just send your correspondence there with a rep. Several different ways we can communicate with other advisory boards. Then it comes back to you, and you flush it out one more time with all their recommendations. And then the final will be your recommendation of this master plan to City Council. And this has just happened a couple years ago with the teen center. And I'm looking at Commissioner Munoz, and he's shaking his head. He remembers, I mean, Commissioner Hale as well, when the master plan, the back of the teen center, it went through the process. A lot of kids were involved. Parents were involved. There's a big input of what we want there, and then the architect kind of put it out there and put it on the property or the site, and now you have a master plan. It's unfunded, but it's master planned. Right now you have both unfunded and unplanned parks. So Coleman Park is not planned, so it'll come back to you, and then eventually goes to City Council. It becomes a master plan. Now it's task of staff to find the money to build it and get the permits and to build. There's a little bit of a process, but to get to this master plan, I think it's very exciting because you have an opportunity to hit parks that are right on the Embarcadero, right on the bay, a lot of different resources to consider, a lot of different interests to consider. I mean, you can go everywhere to, I'm making the point other than it could be a natural area or it could be an amusement park. I doubt either one is going to happen. It has to be something that evolves out of this that engages people to participate in the park, nature, something to get them outside, things that what you bring to the table. So, and we've got a clean slate. And I will make mention of the Coleman Park and the status only because we didn't cover it earlier. The skate park is still planned to move over to the teen center, and that is within days and weeks, not months. So it's happening right now, and we're getting a lot of cooperation from public services to do some in-house work. So it's been a terrific collaborative effort. The other is Staff is planning on putting a couple of basketball hoops down where the old skate park is, because the fence is up and the asphalt's there, and it costs me money to tear it down. I can put a couple of hoops up on a temporary basis, because your master plan is to move the basketball court to the teen center as well. So both the elements that we've seen at Coleman are moving to the teen center, and that's kind of by design and kind of by fate. But Coleman Park itself is going to give you an opportunity to look at quite a few things. And the groups that you bring in there are going to want to include what's in the park and what's just how we transition into the boating industry and how we go into that whole section. That transition is going to, your park is going to be fun and exciting. The transition is going to be a little trickier. So whenever you're out at Coleman, look at boundaries, look at streets, look at how things are laid out, how things are rolling with the beach, and kind of have some ideas. Well, I would imagine we're going to get Cal Poly involved with some design work, because that's usually a free resource. They'll help maybe help facilitate some of the outreach. I'm recommending that whatever committee comes up, we look at some of the grants that are possible and what are the point values of what type of outreach you do. So if you do a lot of night meetings and weekend meetings and field site visits, and they're worth a lot of points when it goes to the grant writing, that's something we want to incorporate earlier on. So this whole process early on, it's kind of like, it's unlike painting, you know. 80%, 90% is prep work, and then the 10's putting it all in. So not to belabor it anymore, I would send it back to the commission for discussion and the possible recommendations for staff and how we're going to continue with these projects and what kind of input we want from the public. I would say that if you put a committee on charge of everything that's out there, everything's going to slow down to, I wouldn't say glacier, because glaciers are melting kind of fast, but it's going to slow it way down. Thank you. So I think that right now, I've talked with the harbor director. He is willing to continue his efforts and what he's doing. I think he's been very successful in his boating operation portion of this area and collective projects, if you will. If we tone it back down and say, you know what, let's concentrate on the park dedications, these parks that need to be master planned. They don't have a master plan. We should get them in the process. You just did an amendment to the Del Mar master plan. Let's be consistent and get these other areas master planned so we have some direction. And when money's come available, we're ready for it. The public process of input is like scraping for painting. You really have to get down in the corners, dig people out, get conversation together, and flush out the elements. We had did that on a workshop with RRM, and they were saying, oh, they were giving a bunch of little amenities that were going to be in the park. And then said, well, don't consider those now. Those aren't what you want. You're in a conceptual phase. So the concepts were parkland here, boating here, larger elements. Now we're going to roll our sleeves up and get the details. And I'll put the cat out of the bag. Maybe one of the ideas is we put a playground there, and it's a playground for older citizens. Not a kid's playground, but a senior playground. Maybe we put a volleyball court in. Maybe we keep the basketball court. Maybe we put in shuffleboard. Maybe we put in, I don't know. You know, it can go different directions. But when you get groups like the Central Coast Women for Fisheries, a round table, someone maybe from the NRP, someone from maybe the state comes in, they find a little rep or association that wants to, you know, from the NRP wants to come in and sit in on your committee. As we flush this out, if we were to keep this as an ad hoc subcommittee of the RPC, now, if it bumps up to council, that's a different story. If we keep it here, we focus in on the park development, and then we move it over, and as we go through the process, then it gets kicked out to these other commissioners, these other advisory boards, and comes back to you again on how it works. So we flush these ideas out, and the designs change all through this process until we say, yeah, this is what we really want. These are the elements. These are the locations. This is more than a conceptual. This is more of a detailed master plan. And then we give it some timelines. We give it some cost. We give it some priorities. And then we push it to the city council level. So you're not going to start in on this is the design and who wants to vote for it. That's pretty much party over. And Native Indians are going to be wanting to get involved, most definitely. Public agencies, the Coast Guard will want to know what's going on, without a doubt. So anybody at every level, we notice, invite, have workshops, and we just flush it all out. And we have a multitude, and we number each one of them. And we have a dozen or so. And until everyone's sick of hearing about it, everyone gets a choice to show up and say something. And then when it's all said and done, we move this project forward. And you're going to find funds for it, I'm sure of it.
Can I make a comment?
Sure.
At this point, hasn't it been agreed and approved as far as which areas are going to be dedicated to parks and recs and which areas to harbor and boating? We've already jumped through that hoop, correct?
Yes, the conceptual design has been adopted.
And at this point, that's not going to change.
Correct.
So now that those zones have been determined and are fixed, I'm just shooting from the hip, but it seems to me it would make more sense to keep it an RPC subcommittee, because we've already agreed on who gets to determine what goes on in what space. So now it's up to us to define the details of what we want in that space. So it becomes more of a Parks and Recs issue at this point, as far as moving forward. So that's my first instinct as far as what we might want to do.
Thoughts?
Yeah, I agree also to keep it a subcommittee of the RPC. Now, just for clarification, we would ask, like, if we formed a little subcommittee, we would have, like, a call public, just a meeting, like a meeting, advertise a meeting for input separate from this.
Yeah, exactly.
And then get our ideas.
I'd like to elaborate on that if I could. As public hearings go, It'll surface on the key folks, the key players. And I would imagine there's going to be at least 8 to 12 that'll be key players in this committee as we go down the road. It'll ebb and flow. There'll be more at certain areas. And we go out to Target Rock area, and maybe that's what we concentrate on. And now we've got more involvement with the Native Indians and the Central Coast Women for Fisheries. And maybe back at Coleman, we get more involvement with the Filipino group. So it's really gonna depend where we're at and how we're soliciting their involvement and how much they want to engage.
So after we get input and ideas, we would at that point forward those ideas to the other committees for their review?
No, we're going to be, this committee will develop a report that'll come back to the RPC for review. So we're going to be developing your master plan. This subcommittee is going to develop the master plan and then present it back to this RPC and say, hey, this is what our committee's come up with. This is what we have. What do you think? And hopefully at that moment, everyone's had some input at one level or another. And we iron out the last of it, and we say, hey, let's send it out for the other advisory boards. Then we set a time. They all get to review it and give us back their comments, and then we'll agendize it again. It'll be on the agenda from here on out. I'm hoping that we can get on this this particular outreach and really quantify it. Say, this is how long we're going to do it. We're going to aggressively get out there and really seek people and really record everything. It's really important that the subcommittee, when we report, we have minutes. It's all documented, where we met, who we met with, how many people showed up, how they were notified. All that's important information when it comes down to the grant writing and the financial mechanism that we'll be seeking.
So would it be best to go with both Coleman Park and Target Rock area in these meetings, both ideas, or do we want to tackle one at a time?
I think you want to start off as general It all goes
on
in
both,
at once,
and then you'll have pieces of it.
And I think you're going to digest pieces of it at a time.
You know what, whatever we do at one will probably affect what we want to do at the other, or vice versa. Yeah.
What's the size of the subcommittee? And I mean, obviously, this is a big project and an exciting one for our commission. Is there a limit to the number of participants in a subcommittee? And then my second question for all of us, too, is, you know, what's a typical commitment on the project? I mean, are we talking about, you know, once-a-week meetings, once-a-month meetings? I mean, how does it typically look so people can consider the time commitment and interest in participating in a subcommittee if we put one together?
Thank you. Very fair questions. I would say that there is a limit on who can participate in this ad hoc subcommittee. It can't be any more than a quorum or a majority of what we have up here. So a maximum would be four. I talked with city attorney today. He said I could do three if I had seven sitting. I told him I only have six. He said you stay with two. So right off the bat, we'd be looking for two commissioners to step forward if this is what we're looking for, as opposed to going back to council. And I would say that this is a good position to be in. It's to send forward two commissioners to meet with staff. And then from there, I would tell you, Chair Hale, the numbers can be 5 to 20.
Two's just the minimum.
What's that?
Two's the minimum.
I would say yes. Two's... Two is the minimum. Two is the minimum and the max, coming from the RPC.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and plus staff. So we could get a committee of three, but I think, like I said, we want some big outreach. So we're going to get some folks coming in.
So when you said up to 20, what was that referencing?
Up to 20. It's up to 20 is the people you're going to invite in for
just participants.
Yeah, but there's going to be a committee of, say there's two and staff is three. And then we say, hey, we're going to expand this committee because we want other agencies involved. And so let's just say Sunda Coastal Women Fisheries. We're asking you to give us a rep for this committee. And they're going to send us the rep. Now, that rep, they're going to be involved in everything we do. Maybe. Most likely they're going to project their interest, their mission as a group, and that's what they're going to push on. And that's what you want. You want them to bring their passion and their efforts forward. And over here as well, you got the Native American Indians, whatever tribe, they're going to want to have things go their way. They want resources. They would want locations. They want amenities. Maybe they don't know what they want, and we open that up, and we give them some great opportunities.
Set up the subcommittee, do we have to determine what the max number of total participants is going to be, or is it totally open to flux?
This subcommittee shouldn't restrict themselves. This is too big of a project to exclude anybody, even by chance.
Mm-hmm.
Majority of the people who visit this town go out to the Rock. It's right by the bay. There's ocean on one side, there's bay on the other. There's so much to offer as far as natural resources. People are going to be concerned about the environment, how it's developed. I'll give you a case in point. Tylands Park was looking just like Target Rock area when I first got here. Major opposition from a lot of different folks. Legitimate reasons, you know. Hey, we're going to lose our parking for our boat trailers. You're going to mess up the area. You're creating a problem. But it went through the master planning process, and a lot of issues got resolved at committees and workshops and outreach programs. And now you've got a developed park that people just shake their head and say that's the one most wonderful thing around. An imaginative playground on the bay with opportunities for walking, with lighted walkways, with little barbecue areas. It really has worked out well. And to bookcase the bay with something over at Target Rock is something that staff feels is important, mm-hmm. would be beneficial to the tourism that we have here and the community. And we have, like I said, with the use of Cal Poly, we've got like six different designs already to start with. So our subcommittee is going to throw those out and really stir up some conversation and some dialogue between groups to find out what is really needed, what will work out there, what's financially feasible.
And tell us again what your thoughts are on commitment, time commitment. And
I would imagine you're going to start off with maybe once a month, maybe twice a month, meaning most likely once a month to meet as a subcommittee and then probably do some work on your own, a little bit of research, come back. And a lot of this preliminary work can be done via the Internet, through email. We would set up a small hub that we could throw ideas in. That's going to maximize your time at home and not having to go out and have to go to meetings, because I know that's it's a burden sometimes on families. So I would say a lot of the correspondence could and should be done electronically, but there's going to be some public workshops that you don't necessarily have to be at. You're not committed. You're not going to get thrown off the committee because you couldn't make a workshop. Staff will be there to help run and facilitate these workshops. And there may be a point where one of you may do that. It's hard to tell right now. But for the most part, we'll be there. We'll be running the meetings, the workshops, the notices, those kind of things. So it's going to be fact-finding. It's going to be talking with people, engaging them, and being that advocate for this particular project. And just keeping it rolling, because I think right now we have momentum, and I think that now is the time to get through this process. Because once we get through this process, and you have an idea, you have it on paper, what you're going to do now, any monies that come available, it can be applied, matching funds or not matching funds. And we're running into the same thing with our energy audits. We've got a couple of projects that are ready to go. Money just fell from the sky today. So it's pretty exciting because we're ready and we can use it. So that's why the teen center got master plan, because you're ready. We just need the money. The tennis courts are ready and have the money. It just needs to be thought out. So you have several things that are right on the bubble. And to bring this one up or get it down a little further down the trail, now's the time.
One last question. Potentially, if more than two of us were interested in being on the subcommittee. No, I'm just. What if? Could we take turns, maybe, being on the subcommittee? Could we? Would that be something
There may be a possibility there. I'd want to reference. I would imagine it's the Brown Act to make sure we're not violating any rules. Okay. If the commission's direction right now is to keep this at the RPC as a subcommittee, ad hoc subcommittee, I would suggest you go with two. And if staff comes back at our next meeting and says we can get a third, then we could certainly appoint one more person at that time. Is that fair? Okay.
And how? One more question, sorry.
Certainly.
Or maybe there's more, actually. I don't want to suggest this is the last for you. Again, time frame, is there any targets in your mind around?
Once you get through that process and you're really meeting with people, 4-6 months of really going at it, and then you're going to go back to the other commissioners, that's going to be another couple months, comes back here, month or two. Remember, you only meet once a month. You only meet once a month formally. So when I say months at a time, that's only two or three meetings. And so I would imagine that if you could get if the RPC ad hoc committee could get this thing flushed out of public comment and workshops through advisory boards and up to council within a year would be really moving. I would probably say about a year and a half, just off the top of my head, to get something finalized on a master plan of this magnitude to city council. I try not to sugarcoat things. We'd love to say 3 months and we'll be out. But it's been 10 years and we're still ready to break ground on the dog park. So things take time. And you don't know when public comment comes around. You could deal with a lot of issues. So we're hoping that optimistically, that's what the kind of commitment you're looking at. And I don't think that when you get in an ad hoc subcommittee at this level that, you know, we're not holding you ransom, you know, for hostage for, you know, a year and a half because you have to do this. Your interest may change. Someone else may have a little bit of fire, and we go from there. So I wouldn't shy away from the commitment. I would be attracted more to the creativity and the design, the excitement of having input and direction and leadership down at those particular key areas in this town. And the direction we're going into, I keep hearing people say we're a tourist town. Well, you know what? I think it's time we showed them we're a tourist town and give them some attractions. Mariner Park is what staff's been working on right now. We opened up that park, putting in some flowers. We're working with the Botanical Gardens, the Morro Bay Garden Club. So things are happening down there and becoming more colorful, more open, more inviting. And that's what the tourists are looking for, and staff's opinion. And I think that we'd like to continue doing those tourist areas and tourists kind of a motif, what they're looking for, give them what they expect. And then when we have our other areas, you know, Kaiser has its functions, Bayshore, Monty Young. I got compliments today on Monty Young. It's a neighborhood park. Keep it a neighborhood park. So we're trying to get that function in that space really to match the needs of the community. And if they're tourist needs, then let's make that area match those resources, then vice versa in our neighborhood park. So that's the kind of direction that staff's kind of been shooting for, and that's why I think that this project is very exciting. And that's my pitch for anybody who wants to be on the subcommittee.
Yeah, I don't think you have to sell it too hard. I mean, it's a really, I think there are, I think what's running through our minds is, gosh, we'd all like to participate, and we only get two people. So, I mean, that's probably, you know, if I'm guessing, a concern that would be, you know, among our group. So
I think that, don't be mistaken, if there's only two, they're not just the two chosen few. They're the ones who are going to go out and do the legwork. You're going to come back at the next meeting, and we're going to engage everybody. We'll have public hearings at this meeting. We could have workshops at this meeting where you can participate as a regular meeting agenda item. So we'll bring, as soon as they get a little something, we'll bring it in, and everyone will be part of the process. Don't feel you're going to be excluded if you're not part of the subcommittee. I'm sorry if I gave that impression, but that's not the case. It's just the opposite. We're wanting you to, everyone here to engage. That's what's going to make this dynamic.
Good. What other, do we have other questions, thoughts on how we want to proceed with the process?
The next question would be, how do we appoint the two members onto that subcommittee?
Well, then we should probably secure agreement that we all agree the
subcommittee
makes sense.
That's what we want to do, yeah.
I mean, does anybody disagree or have a different opinion? Okay. So we've agreed on that.
Maybe staff would like to recognize a motion of your intent as far as how we're going to move into the public input process.
Okay.
I'll give you some options on the bottom here. If you're choosing number two, maybe a motion is to actually do that.
So I'd like to make a motion to set up a subcommittee of the Park and Recs Commission to discuss and recommend the development of North Embarcadero, including Coleman Park and Target Rock.
Anyone? Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? None? Okay, so we've agreed on that. And so what's the process then to, should we, I mean, do we want to talk, can we have an open discussion around who might be interested, how, you know, from a time commitment, from a level of interest, how we might, I think we could also talk about how we, you know, if we end up with two people on the...
Hi. No, I'm really interested in that area. That's a very, very important area for this whole community. So I'm very interested in seeing how that gets developed. And especially, we do need to have the Chumash Indians, something there for them to, because it is, it's a multicultural, multi-use thing, and it's just the best spot in the world, like you said. So we better be careful and do it right, because it's going to be there forever. It's going to be your legacy, Joe.
No pressure.
I am definitely interested, although I am new to the commission. That's, as he said, a very important area. And I am very interested in how that's going to be developed. So I would definitely be interested in it, at least in having things come back here, if not sitting on the committee.
Great.
I'd be interested also in participating in it. And if not, then as it comes back as a group.
Okay.
Also.
I'm also very interested in a committee, but again, obviously it's a fantastic opportunity to be involved in a really, really interesting project. But, you know, maybe we can have, I mean, I know, Joe, you were skeptical about this, but maybe we can have 6-month terms or, you know, 2 people on for 6 months, then another 2 on for 6 months. I mean, you know, that might be a good option. First of all, it limits the amount of commitment. I mean, that can become overwhelming pretty quick, and gives everyone a chance to participate hands-on.
You know, another, and that, I think, I mean, just to tag on to that, another option would be whether it's 6 months or 3 months or whatever that window is, put that out there as the way we want to work, and we can visit it again at 3 months. So if we're feeling like, gosh, mm-hmm. this committee is really carrying the legwork, and we're feeling like we're not as a whole group getting to participate as much as we like, we can then take action against what we want to do, which is potentially rotate mm-hmm. in and out commissioners, if we feel like we can do that handoff successfully and not have to do, you know, I mean, that transition or handoff isn't too overwhelming and it feels like that's a good process, then maybe we could, yeah. you know, deploy that process.
I mean, obviously the subcommittee will be reporting to the commission every month, so everyone will be kept in the loop via these reports, so it should work fairly smoothly, I would imagine. But.
Is that something you got? You have to clarify in the Brown Act, there, Joe. For the rotation part of it.
Let me just say this: that you're on the right track. Subcommittees, ad hoc subcommittees, could and have in the past gone like forever. And they become formless. A lot of things become redundant, and the direction really doesn't get taken on in an effective manner. So your idea of limiting yourself to a time commitment, or at least putting some parameters on the term of the ad hoc, is probably a good thing to do. If you say we're going to have an ad hoc committee, and who knows it's going to be for, you know, even if you say it's for 2 years, at least you've set out a goal. So maybe you say we'd like to set up the subcommittee, and we want it to last a year, and then we want to review the effectiveness of this subcommittee. Or you say 6 months in a review, the effectiveness of the subcommittee. Then at least you've given it some terms to say, okay, we're going to let this thing go. We're going to rein it back in, and staff's going to say, hey, what's going on? And I'm going to tell you it's been effective. You've seen the reports. Hey, it's not working. We need another person from the RPC or whatever the case may be at that time. So I think that you're right. The time commitment is important. Rotation and time commitment is of concern. And if you want to, like I said, add a six-month term to your ad hoc committee, then that would be a very prudent thing to do. It will show that that you're decisive in what you want. You're committed to it. Let's get it going. 6 months. Let's test it out. And then if you need another 6 month review, and then within a year, you may be ready to roll to council. And they'll show that you've been really effective in your time allocations, this particularly to a an ad hoc subcommittee, which they can tend to run wild. But if you've got strict parameters and you're going to review within 6 months, I think you're going to be able to rein it in and keep a good tight grasp of this. Because it can go big, because you realize where you're going to be going and the things you're talking about, and the possibilities down in this particular area, even though they are confined with zoning. There are a lot of special interest groups out there, and there's only going to be so much space and resources available.
So maybe we want to talk about what we feel comfortable with or what we'd like to do in terms of a time frame. I mean, you're throwing out 6 months, but it could be every quarter we want to review it. It could be once a year we want to review it or whatever. So I'd like to get people's input on where we'd like to start. We can obviously change it if we want to, you know, it sounds like. But does anybody have any thoughts on, you know, we might put two people on it today and say we're going to review the committee. Does anybody have any thoughts on what that window should be? Do we like the idea of...
I think a minimum of 3 and a maximum of 6 months. Because you're thinking about a year and a half process, so it's kind of a even...
Yeah, I'd say at least 6 months, because sometimes, like Joe says, it may move very slow. I'm not getting nothing done in 3, so.
Thoughts?
No, yeah, absolutely. 6 months sounds reasonable. Yeah.
Okay. So do we need to make any kind of specific motion? Can somebody take a stab at a motion on what we just said?
So I'll make a motion to set up a. Oh, we already made that motion.
Well, should we? Let me ask a question. Should we identify the participants for the first go and then put it all into one?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That would be wonderful. Thank you.
Okay. Does anyone have thoughts they want to share on how we might go out of the gate? I mean, obviously, we have folks that have been on the commission that have a history of knowing the process and having a pretty good familiarity with the project and the locations and the decisions. So that might sway our thoughts going out of the gate, but just open to some inputs from people on what they might see, how we might start off. Looks like we've got 1, 2, 3 interested members. I mean, I'd be interested too, but I'm happy to see a couple of you guys doing that role.
Yeah, and I'm happy to jump in later too. So that's
okay. What do we think? I mean, does it make sense to potentially start off with Commissioner Muniz and Mahan, given that the history with the commission and the background with the project, to let them kind of get started with it and then make that evaluation? Does that seem like
sounds
a reasonable?
Yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah.
Okay. So I think we're ready to make a motion or to hear a motion.
The motion would be to for Commissioner Mahan and Munoz to form the ad hoc committee of the RPC and to reevaluate whether they should proceed or rotate at a 6-month period.
I know you're waiting for a second, and I was going to go in here. Maybe I can get a clarification. Are you saying that the ad hoc committee to proceed or those commissioners to proceed?
The commissioners to proceed.
Okay, so it's going to be a review of the ad hoc committee or review of the members of the ad hoc committee is my question before I get seconded.
I guess it would be the members. I mean, the committee would stay in place, but it's the members that we would review to see who wants to replace them. I guess we should give priority to, if anyone wants to jump in, then they should be given the opportunity to take the place of a commissioner who's already on the subcommittee. And if no one does, and well, I guess we can look into that once we get there in 6 months.
May I interject here, Chair Hale? Thanks. I think that if you continue and you had a second with the review of the members, I think you might be shortchanging your review process. I think if you were to reconsider your motion and add a review of the ad hoc committee within 6 months, that itself would be more general, and you could do the effectiveness of the committee itself, the members, how you're interjecting with the commission, and kind of the whole dynamics. So if it's a time to rotate, it could be part of that process. So instead of just reviewing the members, maybe reviewing the ad hoc subcommittee in general, in 6 months. I just want to make sure that you weren't too narrow in your motion, because when it gets down to 6 months, we can't talk about the ad hoc committee anymore. All we're talking about is the rotation.
I think, and also if I could throw in an idea of if we end up with a full commission that we can entertain before the 6-month period, including an additional member to the subcommittee if we so decide.
We had 7 commissioners. We could add a third.
Yeah, so I didn't want to. I apologize for interjecting there during the motion that was on the table. But you have one now.
Let's restate it then.
If you want to do something. I wanted to try to keep it a little bit formal and let you know where you're at.
Okay, so the motion would be that Commissioner Mahan and Commissioner Munoz form the ad hoc committee of the RPC. And the committee would be in we would review the committee in 6 months for evaluation.
Would we say every 6 months?
To review every 6 months.
as far as a review of the ad hoc subcommittee within 6 months or at the 6 month period. Is that correct?
Sounds correct to me.
Yes, and should we include to add the third one once we have a seventh commissioner?
Okay.
The commission has the option to offer up a third subcommittee member once the commission is fully occupied staff.
Add a third to the ad hoc committee if we hit seven on the commission?
Right.
Okay.
The
staff's
option.
Got that.
Exact.
Great. Thank you.
The option two, yeah.
Perfect. Okay. So moving on to D3, Recreations and Park Department Program Evaluations. Back to you.
Good evening, Chair Hale and Commission once again. The final item that we have on your agenda, other than a few of the housekeeping, is the program evaluations. I have four of them for you this evening. I will go through them fairly rapidly. If you have some questions, please stop me at the end of each. And I'll be happy to answer some of your questions for you. I will start with the program evaluation for the 2009 season for futsal. And futsal, very exciting program, inside soccer program. We had 124 participants, boys and girls. We played all of our games in Los Osos and Morro Bay. For you new commissioners, we break this down into expenses, direct and indirect, and then we add into the revenues. Our direct costs for expenses for this program were $8,379 and some change. Our indirect costs, if I can just give a little bit of a spiel, the cost allocation for 124 participants is $10 each, and that signifies non-event related expenses, staff time for the website, photocopying flyers and packets and scheduling and the indirect costs that are associated. We put that on to give you a cost recovery of 85%. So we generally don't look at the loss, but we could, and we do. This program is a merit service, which means it's targeted revenue to recover 70 to 79% of its cost, and we were at 85%, so we're well over our mark. And if we took the indirect cost out of this particular equation, the net loss would be reduced down to 218, which is about a 97% cost recovery. So I say the indirect cost, and I want to point that out because we are in the process of really reviewing that. Our costs have gone down since some of the participants register online, so we don't have office staff dealing with registration, which drops the indirect cost down. So your cost recovery is going in a positive direction. So that should be noted. Any questions on futsal? There's some program evaluation, program recommendations at the end there. We're going to continue keeping the program in-house as opposed to partnering up with the YMCA. We're going to be using the reversible jerseys. We're always looking for more sponsors to defray some of the costs, which would obviously help with our cost recovery. And we're going to be looking to recruit coaches from the high school and the colleges. And we generally do that with some part-time staff. Seeing no questions, I'll move on and then ask for an acceptance for all these reports for file at the conclusion. The next program evaluation is 2009 season for Spring Adult Softball League. What a terrific league. We had they play three nights. There's four divisions, co-ed, one and two, a master's over 50, and a men's D1, 25 teams in total. The direct costs are obviously the things that are related to softball. One thing you might want to see is ASA, American Softball Association. We become members every season. Because we're eligible for what's below that, which is the SMAF Player Medical Benefit Fund. So, and that's per participant. And then what happens is if someone does get injured, the claims are generally covered. Smaller claims are covered through the Player Medical Benefit Fund and not onto our self-insured program. We have hit that at certain levels, but it's very rare. I'm just throwing a little bit of history out for our new commissioners. Thank you. And then, sorry, direct costs are $11,700 and some change, and the indirect expenses are $13,000. Total expenses, $13,913. Registration fees were a little over $12,000. Your net loss was $1,700. Cost recovery, 87%. Merit service, your target revenue recovery was 70 to 79, so we are, you know, good 10% over our expectations. Without the indirect, this goes into well over 100% cost recovery with a net gain of close to $400. The direct costs include the gym, the jerseys, the balls, the uniforms, and whatnot, and we had a banner cost this time around, awards. Total direct cost were $19,836. Indirect costs for this program, cost allocation, $12.29 per participant, brings your total expenses to $22,158. And your registration brought in $18,588. You did lose $3,570. I don't consider that a loss. I never think of it as a loss. I think of it as a gain. It's a cost recovery of 84%. But if we were looking at the dollars, you know, we would want to offset this subsidy with the benefit of to the community, the kids' character, what they're bringing to society, and then also, you know, things that happen on the offshoot when the family's out at a soccer or in this particular case, basketball. Maybe they're going out and the team's going out for pizza, and you stimulate sales tax that way. So there's some indirect kind of revenues that are tied to a lot of these programs that we don't necessarily bring up to light every time. The recommendations for the basketball, I'll just say this. Some of your expenses will be going down next year. We're going to increase the quantity of the reversible jerseys, paying a small amount for the stenciling and the silk screening for the jerseys. So that will reduce the overall price. And plus, a lot of kids already have their reversibles, and they're using them again. That was the whole thing. Their jerseys are used for soccer, basketball, futsal, which has been beneficial, and we're finally reaping the benefits. And then we're going to seek sponsors, recruit, obviously, coaches from the high school and the colleges. Several things we did well this time, which was take the mid-season break during President's Day. We're going to rethink how we divide the teams, and we're also going to relook at coach training. So everything's not perfect in our perfect world, but we're addressing things that need to be addressed, and hopefully we'll come up with some solutions. We don't have them now, but staff is working on them. So there are some things hopefully we'll iron out for the next programming period. Any questions regarding youth basketball?
I have a quick question, and this is actually in connection with, I think it was T-ball, one of the other sports. When you state that you're seeking sponsors, can you clarify in what way will the sponsors become visible? Do you want them to have their logo on the jerseys or banners, or what type of sponsorship would...
We would consider all of the above.
Okay.
So we have sponsors for different programs. We have sponsors that go on the jerseys. Some sponsors, they buy banners. We've got some big banners, if you will, or display boards out at Lila Kaiser Park. So it depends on the programs. I said sponsors for softball, basketball, futsal. Yeah, there's a way to put up banners. There's ways to recognize our sponsors, whether it's a cash donation or some other type of donation. Maybe they buy all the soccer balls for us, or they buy all the jerseys for us, mm-hmm. Things like that. So the sponsors, there's different venues that would warrant different kind of sponsors, and it goes with what you want to contribute. So we're always open for a sponsor. We haven't. It's tough to get the, you know, pounding the pavement and going out there and getting those sponsors. It's tough. Right now it's real tough. But we're going to continue seeking them. And a lot of times they seek us. They're looking for some recognition. They want to contribute. Mm-hmm. And I've got a couple local people who want to come and donate right now. So it's out there. Hopefully that answers your question.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. No other questions on basketball. I'll move to our final, our fourth and final program evaluation. It is the 2009 Youth T-Ball and Coach Pitch Program. The program had 47 participants on four teams, and the program was held from April till June of 2009. The direct costs were for the field reps, field rental, and some supplies, staff costs, Total direct cost, $1,782. Your cost allocation for the indirect is going to be $12.29 again. That's $578. Total expenses, $2,360. Registration fees were up to $2,649. Net gain, happy face, $287. Which is, here's a program that's targeted for a 70 to 79 cost recovery, and staff has brought it in at 112% cost recovery. So it really speaks volumes about what staff's been trying to do with limited resources, time, and economically challenged to go out and still recruit folks. A big thank you should be given to the Community Foundation, and I don't think they get their just recognition year-round. But a lot of these kids who are participating in these programs.
What the reasoning is behind going to three practices a week versus two? I saw that under the recommendations.
Oh, that's a good question. Thank you. Part of the recommendations, and it's not something that we're actually going to be mandated to do, but we're going to be looking at doing. A lot of coaches came back and they said that, hey, instead we're going to be 3 days a week. Let's just do one practice and two games and really get the kids involved in gaming. And it's going to depend, I think, a lot on their fundamentals and how well-established teams are. And that's what you see. Part of our recommendation is to get staff out there and help these kids establish some good techniques earlier on. So if you're saying that you want us to continue with two practices in one game as opposed to one practice in two games, that's something that we would want to talk about months before we open the program up.
Well, it was my understanding it was two participation days a week instead of, and now it's going to be three. Is that the change, or did I read that wrong?
No, I think the change is, we've always met 3 days. It's usually Monday, Wednesday, and Friday.
It's just two.
Just two?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll have to get. Maybe I misspoke then. And I'll do some follow up and get back to you if you'd like.
Okay. Well,
I'm
just curious
that?
Because that just seems like a big jump. So.
So instead of just doing a practice in a game, you're saying that. You want to keep it.
Curious.
You want to keep it at two, a practice in a game, and not go.
Oh,
to
I don't have any desire one way or another. I was just curious what the reasoning was behind going from two to three a week, because it was two a week.
Yeah, as I see, these recommendations come from staff's involvement with the volunteers,
okay.
And sometimes it's totally different from year to year. And this group of volunteers, basically parents, are saying, "Hey, we really want to do." You know, just one practice and two games to really get them in that game atmosphere because everybody loves the game.
Okay.
So I'm thinking that's how they're going because game day is a big day. And if you had two of those, woohoo, that's huge. That's big league. So I would imagine that's where it stemmed from without really getting into it. But I would be happy if I could just contact you.
Yeah, that would be good.
When I find out next week, that'd be great.
Okay.
Thank you. Any other questions?
Questions?
Then we certainly would look to accept these for file.
Motion to accept D3 evaluations for file.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Nay. Okay. Moving on to item E, declaration of future agenda items. Does anyone have any agenda items you'd like to see put on a future agenda?
Do we want to future agendize the JAC project, bring that back for discussion to the committee?
If you wanted to make a motion and have that carry by a majority, you could do that. I would caution your motion, if you wanted to do that, to include if the applicant was to meet all the criteria in the public art policy, then we should future agendize. It's either going to come through your future agenda item or it's going to be mandated from the city manager, and that's kind of the policy. So you can go either way.
So at this point, we would wait. ability to go through these.
You can certainly wait, and if it goes, and if it meets the criteria of the city manager's office, then the city manager will say, "Hey, agendize this," and that's when it'll come to you.
Can I ask a question on future agendas? Did we have the Bike Coalition scheduled to come back and just give us a verbal update on progress? I know there, I mean, I bring it up because of this this meeting that we talked about early in the meeting today.
Are you talking about the connector or the bike committee?
I'm talking about, well, in this case, the connector, but I think I'm interested in the bike committee to see if we had them lined up to come back and give us an update. And then also we had talked about having the folks working on a swimming pool, that committee, to also periodically come and give us updates. I think we talked about looking to get an update every, was it 3 months, if I'm remembering correctly? We were going to ask that they come and provide an update to the to ourselves as well as the public. So I was just checking status on those agenda items.
Thank you, Chair Hale. You're definitely correct. There was major interest in bringing those particular groups back in for an update. Staff will contact them and see if we can get them on the next available agenda.
Great.
So whether it be our next meeting or the following, will be pending their availability, but staff will contact both the bike committee as well as... Now, you know that there's two pool committees out there.
Okay.
There's not just one, so we'll give...